Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guy violates the unwritten rules. If people knew, and you know guys in Major League Baseball knew this was going on in Houston to some extent, if they're all staying quiet on it, there's a reason. Guy pimps a home run in a meaningless regular season game. They're all on the field fighting each other. They're literally on the field fighting each other if a guy pimps a home run. But if they steal your World Series, everyone stays quiet. Why? Because everyone in some way, shape, or form is doing it. That's what it's got to be. If a guy pimps a home run, think about that
for a
second.
Think about it. You're right.
Guy pimps a home run and they come to blows. Harper versus Strickland, everyone's out there. Samardzija knocked Michael Morse out of MLB with that hit.
Yes.
By accident when he ran into him. He gave him a concussion. They're all on the field brawling each other if someone violates the unwritten rules. Yet when something like this happens, everybody's quiet. I wonder why.
Yeah. It's because it's the tip of the iceberg. And I was talking to our producer earlier this morning about what tip of the iceberg actually means, because you look at an iceberg and it's like, wow, it's a pretty good looking iceberg. But it's just the tip, because under the water is something that's about 100 times bigger.
90% of the mass is under
the
water.
Yes, it's the rest of the iceberg. So you're right, Joe. This is a lot more widespread than we think.
You actually had to explain that to him?
You mean to tell me that if you were friggin' the pitcher and you knew that Tuve had that on, and he hit that home run, you wouldn't run up and rip his shirt off? I'm telling you, me, I'm just crazy or
that's
something.
Salt, son.
I don't care. I promise. If I knew undoubtedly that that was going on, if I knew it unequivocally, and I knew that he was wired, and he hit a home run on me in that particular moment to end the game, I would have ran up there, and I would have ripped his shirt off, and I would have said, look at this. I'm telling you, it's no I don't thank everyone, because I'm telling you right now, you mean to tell me that Madison Bumgarner knew that that dude had it and he hit a home run on Madison and he knew that that dude was wired? I'm telling you, he runs and takes his shirt off.
Bumgarner cut somebody.
Bumgarner's
got a hunting knife probably tucked on his shoulder that's coming out.
There's a lot of people. Yeah, like you said, here's the thing. If you knew, well, you didn't know me, but you seen how big and strong I was. And you
Well, you're a bit old and round now.
Okay, if I was 20 years ago, wow, whatever you want to say.
All right, that's fair.
Okay, and you, and let's just say this, and you knew how big and strong I was on roids and everything else, and I was like this, and you were at your house, and I came in, what could you do? What would you do?
This is quite the analogy.
Okay, honestly, are you sitting in your car?
I'd be scared.
Okay, now, if I'm coming, getting ready to come to your house, come rob your house the same way. But you know that I'm coming. You don't care if I'm on steroids. I don't care how big and strong. But you know I don't have any weapons.
I got a bazooka waiting for you.
You better believe it. And you're going to bust me open. You mean, what's the difference?
Quite an analogy. But, okay. Happy 6:56 a.m. on a Friday.
I know exactly where you're going with this, but I think that.
But what's the difference?
The difference is I think Houston took it to a level that had been unseen. I think a lot of other teams were doing things of this nature, but they weren't doing it to this level, to where they were actually wearing electronic devices and getting buzzes. Other teams were probably using video surveillance to steal signs, but Houston took it to a level that nobody else knew about, and that's why they got to a level of success. Because I think other teams, and Mark Teixeira, a former MLB player, talked this morning on a syndicated show about how they would have 45-minute-long meetings to talk about how they were going to go about stealing signs. Now, they weren't going to do it in the same way Houston did, but you're right. If
you know
the pitcher's
coming,
aware of it, he's definitely, something's going
to
happen.
Let's go to the billions. Adam Kaplan's going to join us in 3 minutes. Phone lines are juiced on this. We got the NFC Championship on Sunday. We have never taken this many calls on anything, and from a lot of people we normally don't talk to. I'm just going to work my way down the board. Marlin in Oakland. Marlin, thank you for the phone call. Welcome to the show. What should happen to the Astros?
Hey, man. Hey, thanks, guys. Happy Friday. I think the Astros should be stripped of their World Series title without a doubt. But I agree with Lowe, and I think Altuve should not be stripped of his individual MVP award, just because I think it sends the wrong message throughout baseball. You know, I just quickly want to say I used to go to the games in 2014. My wife used to get really good seats from her work, fifth row, and we saw that these guys were studs, and they don't need – to cheat to succeed. But I think if management or Alex Cora or whoever came up with the system implemented it, I think it's easy to cheat and do the wrong things if you're being directed. Anyways, that's what I think, guys. Happy Friday.
Appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. City Boy, San Francisco. City Boy, welcome to the show. Your thoughts on the Astros cheating scandal.
Yeah, morning, fellas. I just wanted to chime in on this because I think this cheating thing is really an organizational thing, first and foremost. I also want to say, you know, I don't really want to see them stripped of World Series titles and MVPs, et cetera. You know, it's what's done is done. It's already happened. Like the Barry Bonds records that were done on drugs. I mean, it happened. It's unfortunate, but the records are what they are. But I think, you know, you really need to punish the organization and to really dissuade these teams from continuing to do this kind of thing. So, you know, I think maybe they should be disqualified from postseason play for maybe two seasons. You know, send a real message because, you know, I know it was collectively bargained that the maximum was like a $5 million fine against the organization, and it's just not enough. I mean, $5 million to these guys is pocket change. So, you know, disqualify them from postseason play for a couple years and a couple meaningless seasons will really, you know, people will demand trades, fans won't go to games. I think that's how you really hurt these teams and make them realize that cheating just isn't worth it. Because right now, cheating is worth it. So, anyway, that's all I got for you.
No doubt. City Boy, thank you. I'm the first thing I'm doing is trying to cheat if Altuve's not getting suspended. If there's not a massive penalty coming down to the players who were involved in this, I'm trying to figure out ways to cheat because why not? What are they going to do? Right now, it looks like nothing.
See, and that's where I'm on the opposite side of that because I think that you got to realize who has a sphere of influence. So you can influence your kids to be to steal. I can go and you can go to the store and say, "Here, little Johnny, take that," and he'll take it right now. Your son, whatever, our kids, they'll do it because they're young and they don't know certain things. And I understand you get older, you got to change, and I get that. But it's about winning. So now you have. I think that's why the organization, you make the owner sell the team. When you do something this bad, when you're this egregious, because for now, strip other players that have nothing to do with it. So now you're trying to bring team, and now you're not going to get free agent. I think if management does the right thing, you can control that. You're supposed to be like the parent. You're supposed to be overseeing your organization. If not, if you're giving them these edges, people are going to push them. They're going
to
push it.
I think individuals have to pay as well, though. And if you find out that Altuve definitely was doing this illegally with electronic devices, he's got to be banned at least for a full season.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. For those of you who are on hold, if you want to hang tight for a little bit, we will get to you. Carmen Policy, former president and CEO of the San Francisco 49ers, in 1 hour at 8 o'clock. Joe Buck, he's on the call for the NFC Championship game. He will join us at 8:30. Mike Holmgren, The Big Show at 9:30. But for right now, we go to the phones. 95.7 The Game football insider Adam Kaplan with us here on 95.7 The Game. Adam, good morning. I want to start with this. The Pro Football Writers Association voted John Lynch its Executive of the Year and John Harbaugh its Coach of the Year. Do you agree with those decisions?
Well, I voted in that one. So, yeah, I do, but I would tell you that it was very tough for the head coach. It took me literally 20 minutes to go through it all and to really see the decisions that were made and how they handled their job. You know, I don't look at just at record. I look at player development, time management, and all that stuff, and use of information. John Harbaugh, believe it or not, is big on analytics. He got a lot of that information. He learned how to do that in Philly under former Eagles president Joe Banner. And he's done a great job. I it's hard for me not to vote for him, but I did vote for Kyle Shanahan, I will tell you. That was my vote. And I had John Harbaugh second. So that was the only thing I disagree with. And Lynch, look, let's not forget where they were a couple years ago. They missed on the Reuben Foster pick. Didn't look good the first 2 years. And then they hit home runs not only in the last couple drafts after the Foster pick, but the free agent moves. I mean, Alexander's looked good. A couple of the other guys have looked good. The player development has been fantastic. And that has been the key here is how well the younger players have developed.
What do you look at as his finest maneuver in between the 4-12 year and this year? Is it Quan Alexander, that signing? Is it the Nick Bosa pick? Is it the Emmanuel Sanders trade? Are there too many to just to take off.
Yeah, Dibs, it's a bunch of them. I mean, we mentioned Bosa, obviously, but Fred Warner, right now will be one of their best picks over the first 3 years, of just understanding what that guy can do and what he'd be better at. And I remember Fred telling me that he never played middle linebacker before. I had a nice talk with him in training camp, and now you're talking about one of the better middle linebackers in the league, not just one of the better young ones. And Greenlaw looks like a player. People laughed at the Niners when they signed Sherman. Why would you want to sign an older player? He's coming off an Achilles injury. Boy, does that move work? People laughed at them when they brought Jimmy Ward back with his injury history. Look how well that move has turned out. And then, obviously, when you look at the way that they've developed this roster, and George Kittle, by the way, on offense, might be the NFL's best all-around tight end. When you look at the last 3 years, other than the Foster pick, and at least they're getting something out of Solomon Thomas, most of them have worked out, and that's why they're in the championship game, quite frankly.
Joe had some interesting numbers this morning, talking about four teams that were a 7-point underdog in the previous years. I happen to be on one of those teams, the Tennessee Titans. I think you said, Joe, Atlanta Falcons.
Three teams previously had won at least 13 games during the regular season and then made it to the championship game only to find themselves 7-point underdogs or greater. Lowe's Titans team in 99 was one. The 98 Falcons were in there, and the 1990 New York Giants as well.
Right.
Like Green Bay this weekend.
Right. So when you look at that, do you think Shanahan's aware of that he understands and letting his guys know, hey, look, this is a total – we got to take that last game and throw it completely out. You're going to have a motivated and a team that's coming in here thinking that they can upset you and beat you. You think Shanahan's aware of these numbers and all these things are out here, the narrative?
I don't know how much that is a factor. But in terms of getting respect, I don't know – we were talking earlier in the season about kind of where we thought the team was and how it looked like it was going to be better than we expected. But I don't know if the Niners have gotten as much respect as they should get. For whatever reason, I can't quite figure that out. And then you look at the team that they're playing this week in the Packers, talk about a team that has sort of outkicked their coverage. They're way better. Let's put it this way. Their record is better than they really are. I think they're kind of a fraudulent 13-3. They play very good defense, by the way. But you saw when they came in week 12, the Niners handled them so well that Aaron Rodgers got taken out of the game in the middle of the fourth quarter because it was not competitive. So hopefully now the people around the country we'll figure out how good this Niners team is. Because typically teams don't – the year before, you look at how bad they were at 4-12, and you're thinking, how could they be this good? But part of it is, as we just outlined earlier, and let's not forget that when you look at point spreads in terms of favorites and so forth, the Eagles were the only team I can remember in NFL history that every game they were the number one seed, they played all at home, and they were a dog against the Falcons and the Vikings. So it's incredible. And by the way, they wound up winning the Super Bowl.
Adam Kaplan joining us here on 95.7 The Game. We'll get back to the NFC Championship in just a moment. But in the AFC Championship, it's a guy you covered for a long time in Philadelphia, Andy Reid,
yeah,
looking to get over the hump, looking to get to the big game. Do you think – I asked some other people this. They thought I was crazy, and it's not as if I'm trying to emphasize the point, but – once Patrick Mahomes signs for $40 million a year, it's going to be difficult to beef up the rest of the Chiefs roster with that much money dedicated to the quarterback position. So I'm wondering if this is Andy's last best chance to go grab a Super Bowl. What do you think?
No, I don't, because you've got Tyreek Hill on a contract. As long as he doesn't get in trouble, he'll be fine. He's just an incredible football player. Kelsey's going to be there. He's up for renewal. His contract's not over, but they certainly could redo that. They've got a very good young running back who's really underrated, Damian Williams. Most of their offensive line is signed long-term. Duvernay Tardif, the right guard. Fisher signed long-term. And, Joe, by the way, there's a way you could structure it. So you could just make the money. You give him a large signing bonus, but you could structure it where it's not going to kill you against the cap until down the road. There are ways you can get through it. And LeSean McCoy's most certainly not going to be back, and he may retire. We'll have to see what happens. Yeah, the average per season will be $40 to $45 million. I'd said a year ago that based on the way with the cap and then with the new CBA, if Mahomes kept this up, that it would certainly be well over. It could be well over 40. And don't forget, he's got Lee Steinberg as an agent, who's the you're talking about the superstar agent who Steve Young's agent and many other big time quarterbacks. And That's going to be fun to see what happens with Mahomes' contract, because it's certainly going to be historic.
This free agent quarterback class is so deep and varied. How much does Ryan Tannehill stand to make, even though his numbers have been quite paltry in the postseason?
Yeah, I think, well, they're not asking him to throw 14.5 attempts per game. The thought around the league is this. One cap manager gave me a comparable I thought was pretty good. You see Nick Foles' contract, it's a two-year structure, where, now I know the difference is when you look at Nick Foles, the difference is he was really not a full-time starter, where Tannehill clearly is going to be for the future. I think I could see him getting $20 million a year from the Titans. It's just because of the way that they structure their offense. But they're not going to let him walk because they need to have a quarterback. Mariota clearly is not going to be back. It's just a matter of how deep they want to go. I think the Titans have to be very careful, because Tannehill also did not start a full season here. He's done a great job, and when they've asked him to throw the football, you know, it's incredible. The last time they played the Chiefs, despite the game being both teams scoring in the 30s, he still only had 18 pass attempts. It's really remarkable at how they structure their offense.
And with that being said, they were able to beat Kansas City. It's hard for me to go against a team. If you can run the football and run it consistently, it's easier running and passing. Kansas City seems like the norm. Something is not usually the norm, how it goes. How do you see these games? I look at the Niners. They got a good running game. I look at Tennessee, good running game. Do you think the teams that are a better running winning, or do you think Kansas City is the exception to the rule?
Yeah, and by the way, weather will not be a factor in either game. It's going to be cold, mid-20s, but wind won't be a factor. I don't think you go away from what you do. The Chiefs don't run the football. They don't like to run the football, nor should they with their personnel. I think they'll pass like crazy. The Titans should not go away from what they do well. They run the football. They're not going to change that. I'll give you a scenario, and this could happen. If the Titans are down by two touchdowns or more, they're going to have to throw the football. They don't want to. By the way, they're 1-2 when Tannehill throws the ball over 28 times per game. They don't want that to happen. Their identity is running the football. You know, last week, I'm told the Titans, when they graded their tape, that the Ravens absolutely tried to load the box. It didn't matter. Their double teams are terrific. They've done a great job of structuring their offense. You got to give their offensive coordinator has done a tremendous job. And when you really look at it, it's Arthur Smith. Remember, he never called plays in his life. He was a tight ends coach, and he's done a phenomenal job. And there's some people around the league talking about maybe he's the head coach down the road in the next couple of years. So he's done a great job. So to answer your question, they'll play to their identity. Now, what Kyle Shanahan does is he kind of feels the waters there. When they tried to run the ball, they had so much success. He stayed with it, and it worked. The Packers, they don't throw the ball very well, folks. It's almost hard to understand, but they don't have a second receiver. Alan Lazard's been a nice story, signing off the Jaguars practice squad, but he's not a guy you're going to throw the ball too much. It's really going to be Davante Adams, and then pretty much it. And here's the thing. They move him around a little bit. Remember, the Niners don't play man coverage until third down. So I would expect Davante Adams to have success, but like we saw in the first matchup, the Packers could not find anyone else to throw the ball to.
Adam, before we say goodbye, I was curious. Every year, we saw the Rams last year get themselves to the Super Bowl, then they took a step back. Now you're looking at their salary cap situation, and you're saying, there could be some issues there. Yeah. The Chicago Bears had a nice run. They took a step back. Some teams are built to contend for a while. Some teams may just be a flash in the pan. No matter what happens this weekend and possibly beyond this season, what do you make of the Niners over the next 3 to 5 years?
I think they're set up pretty well. Great cap management, great contract negotiation, Prague Marate. The marriage between Shanahan and Lynch has been terrific. All the nonsense about them not getting along, it was completely false. I knew for a fact that I don't know where that was coming from. That was really off. They're set up pretty well. Now, they're going to have some tough decisions. And by the way, They don't have to extend Kittle's contract. And I'm also told, by the way, by a source involved in the negotiations, they tabled negotiation for Kittle's contract till after the season. They've not had any negotiations, so that'll go and hold. And by the way, he signs through 2020. They don't have to extend it, but I expect them to push forward because they've been pretty aggressive. I think that based on contracts, I'm told that they're actually in pretty good shape for the next couple of years. They're in good cap shape. And don't forget, the cap's going to go up over the next couple of years, especially if the CBA gets done over the next 6 months.
Adam Kaplan, 95.7 The Game Football Insider, with us here on 95.7 The Game. Thank you, Adam. We appreciate the time as always.
Guys, thank you.
Honest question. honest question. What is the bigger story right now? The NFC Championship game or the scandal in baseball? You asked me that yesterday. You even asked me it this morning. I go, it's the NFC Championship game, no doubt. The Niners are back. But the lines are lighting up. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 is going nuts. It's going nuts on this scandal. Like, I'm not saying that's the be-all, end-all, but it seems, I feel as if I miscalculated this a few days ago. And you know how I take pride in our content?
Yes.
I take much pride in structuring our topics. I feel like I missed. I feel like this baseball story is a hell of a lot bigger than we're giving it credit for.
No, I don't think so. I think you said we were all thinking, hey, this could be bigger than the steroid era. And if you think about what this thing shaping up to be, and Dibs just chimed in talking about with them having the wire and how sophisticated they got, he's like, dude, this thing is turning into now Pandora's box has been opened.
Right.
And this thing could even get bigger.
It's going to get bigger. And every single day we come in and we want to talk about this football game, and we will continue to do so.
Oh, without question.
This story continues to evolve, and there's going to be more that comes out, whether it's different teams doing different things to cheat. You mentioned it earlier, Joe, and I think it was a good point about the retribution on a bat flip. Joey Bats flips his bat, and it's an international incident.
That was a huge deal in that playoff game.
Yes, and now we have to fight because a player dared to show up the pitcher, and yet you've got players blatantly cheating, and yet there's no retribution. To Lowe's point, if a pitcher knew that a batter was wearing a wire and his team was not involved at all, he would be outraged, and they would come to blows over it.
No
so
question.
You're going to find more teams involved in this cheating scandal, whether or not they're using electronic devices or banging on trash cans. This story is a long way from being over.
I think you're right. I think it's Pandora's box. I think this is that situation where as soon as the cat got out of the bag here, I think people knew about it. They just hoped it wouldn't come out, like PEDs. Look, guys don't grow in size like that, and then you watch the home run numbers like Brady Anderson shoot through the roof, and no one knows what's going on. People aren't that stupid. They're not that clueless. And the steroid era took place before smartphones, so it's not like we had our heads buried on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, right? So you knew what was going on, and you just let it go. Then Canseco blew the lid off, and the thing spiraled out of control from there. This happened, and it's not a coincidence to me that immediately the commissioner told every team in baseball, shut your mouths, don't comment on it, because they're going to try to figure out how to limit the damage to Houston. The problem is, if all these guys are quiet, you can't charge the mound and throw pitches at a guy and try to bean him after he pimps a home run, because it's that egregious to you, because it's such a violation of your little unwritten code that you have to take it out on each other through fisticuffs, and then a guy steals your World Series, and you're just, man, you know, it happens. I'm just going to stay quiet. No way.
Right.
No way. What happens with Garrett Cole when he shows up in New York?
Right.
The Yankees just signed Garrett Cole. Cole was pitching for the Astros. The Astros just knocked the Yankees out of the playoffs.
Right.
And this year wasn't the only time that's happened. Like, if I'm a member of the Yanks, as soon as he walks in, yo, dog, because that's how you always say it.
Yeah.
Yo, dog. Hey, dog.
What's up?
Tell me about what you guys had on us. Tell me about how you were doing it. I want to know. If we're going to be teammates, I want to know. Sorry, I don't know anything about that. BS. Right. And now all of a sudden, he's got issues with his new teammates.
First time Jose Altuve comes to the plate this year, if I'm the catcher, I take off my glove, I take off my mask, and I undo his shirt.
Naked gun.
I frisk him exactly when
Frank Drebin,
he's frisking. He's trying to find out who is going to, I must kill the queen. So he's frisking every batter as they come up.
No, it's horrible because we laugh about this, but it's horrible, guys, because you know what's going to happen. Just like, you know, unfortunately, you know, what happened some years back. And, you know, I was in Cincinnati when, you know, this horrible incident that happened in 2000 where, you know, with the towers. It changed our lives. It changed our lives. It changed this world in a negative way. But then what happened? How did they try to combat that? Putting safety measures in. You went to the airport, Dibs. You remember, we could go, Joe, you probably don't remember. You can walk through the airport. Didn't have to go through security and all those different things.
Take your shoes off and all that.
You went
through the metal detector and that was it.
Yeah, you're probably going to be in a situation now where baseball, I can't trust it. You're going to see people now, officials coming in the locker room and checking guys out, checking guys' shirts, doing whatever, because you have to for the integrity of the game. Look where you've gotten to. I mean, you see it in football. They, you know, got the police guy to make sure your shirts and make sure your socks and all those things are pulled up. And, you know, now you got baseball in a situation like that. I think it's changed, Joe, and people got jobs from Houston, got jobs because they were winning. And it was false. It was the way that they went about doing it is wrong. And this is a huge scar for the game. And you talk about the three, you talk about the biggest things that are going on. Yeah, football right now in the NFL, these NFC and AFC championship, and the baseball scandal. And freaking the third thing is, it's not even basketball, we're in the middle of basketball season. And the third biggest thing is Odell Beckham. You're talking about, think about what's going on. Two of them are in a horrible, in a very, very negative light, and they're almost taking the forefront of two teams that are getting ready to merge to the Super Bowl.
The idea, great point, the idea of Major League Baseball going toe-to-toe with the NFL on championship weekend for headlines is something that is not even conceivable outside of a legendary-type scandal, which is what we have right now. Like, a player signing somewhere is never going to register on anyone's radar going into championship weekend, ever. Football dominates. Football's going toe-to-toe. We look up right there on TV. One TV's got football. One TV's got baseball. One TV's got us. Don't care much for that one.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and turn that one off.
None of the billions care.
Shut that one down.
Short of some terrible thing happening, like if a legend passes away or if a current player died in a plane crash or something, that might take it away. But you're right. Other than a scandal of this gigantic proportion, we wouldn't be talking about baseball at all. Think about last year when the Niners weren't even in the championship games. We were talking about the conference championship game, and obviously what's up with the Warriors, and Stephen Langford comes back on Monday with that, but there was no baseball talk. There was no hot stove.
Is baseball the dirtiest sport out there?
It's interesting.
Cycling's bad. Cycling's bad. I'll throw that one out there. It seems like cycling's always got a scandal, but cycling doesn't really register as a major sport in this country. Like, is baseball the dirtiest? And how, in terms of how you trust a sport, right? Like, a lot of people don't trust Goodell. And you know how some people feel that there's always some shenanigans with the refs? It's okay. Conspiracy theories are fine. Boston always feels like it's aggrieved that Goodell's coming after him. Saints fans feel like they were jobbed. Okay, that's fine. And there's some questions as to how it goes in football. You know, Raider fans obviously consistently feel slighted that the league's out to get him because of Al Davis's relationship back in the day. And Tom Flores not getting into the Hall of Fame when Jimmy Johnson and Bill Cowher does. That raises some interesting questions. But you take your trust level in the product you see on the field. Because this was always the big thing against gambling. Can't legalize gambling because it's going to compromise the product. It's going to compromise the integrity of the sport. Gambling has done no such thing since it's been legalized. Nothing. It has had no negative effect. If anything, you got jobs and you got revenue. Gambling's producing. Ask Norway how they pay for all their youth sports. Gambling. No one knows that.
Wow.
They legalize sports betting, and they take the winnings, and they put it towards youth sports so that everyone can play in Norway. There's a fantastic Real Sports with Brian Gumbel on that. It's from last summer. Look at how Norway raises their kids with sports versus us. Just throwing that out there, it's a fascinating approach. It's literally the exact opposite of America.
Joe, it's funny that you just said that because gambling hasn't corrupted sports. Sports has corrupted gambling. If you think about baseball, if you had money on the 2017 World Series,
great point,
and you were betting against Houston, let's say you had 10 stacks of high society, as you like to say, and you're betting against Houston, and Houston wins it on the backs of this cheating scandal, and you're out 10 stacks, you're outraged. Sports has corrupted gambling, not the other way around.
No doubt.
Who would have thought that that would be the case, that sports corrupted gambling, not gambling corrupting sports?
How dare baseball dirty my gambling? How right. dare you baseball dirty right. my gambling like that?
Wow.
But that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Like right now, how much do you trust baseball versus football versus hockey versus basketball versus the Olympics versus cycling versus tennis versus golf? Tennis seems to find itself embroiled in a scandal every now and
you
again.
You can't trust baseball, and even put aside this whole cheating scandal, think about the ball itself. You don't even know what the ball is. The baseball has been changed over the course of the years because they want to produce more home runs. So you can't trust anything about baseball.
Jim in Napa. Jim, thanks for waiting on hold. You have a question for Lowe. Fire away.
Yeah, Lowe, I was just wondering, man. You know, I was thinking about this analogy between baseball and football. If you're a middle linebacker or a free safety and you're getting tipped and you know it's a run or a pass, or even though specifically it's a run right or a screen right or a pass left, I mean, that's going to give you a huge advantage. In baseball, a fastball's coming versus a curveball. I mean, that's math to be able to gear up for that curveball and load your wind on your back leg, right? I mean, you see that analogy?
Yeah, and also when you add about football, here's the thing. If I look at the guard and he's light on his hands, I know that he's pulling. So, okay, as a linebacker, okay, I'm even going to run through because I know he's pulling and I'll try to get it from the backside. I get that. But you still got to get there. Baseball, if you look at it, you don't have necessarily, it's a ball, but you know, here's the thing. You practice a swing line. You practice a swing line for a curveball. It's a different swing. You know if he's going to try to jam you, if it's a slider. So you know those different lines. That's just something that's repetition. When you're football, if you say, okay, they're sweeping, and I know that they're sweeping, I still got to beat the fullback. I got to beat the guard. I got to do those things. So it's totally different, I think, when you just have tendencies scouting. But now if you have a whole team and you know here is a play that they're running as a play and as a unit, because you had the information, because you cheated and said, okay, this is what they're going to do, it's 1,000%, I think that gives you a huge advantage. Baseball, when you're talking about, they knew it was unmutable, it was unchangeable. This is the sign. This is what they're throwing. So you are knowing, if you know that lot, that angle, and if it's there, if it's a strike, you're going to have, most of the time, going to get some gold. That's why those numbers that Joe read, man, is just unbelievable. So I think it gives you a huge advantage in baseball.
Alex Wood, pitcher for, is he still with the Dodgers right now? Alex Wood? Wherever he's at, he tweeted something yesterday. I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, if given the chance to make a pick between a play facing a batter who's on PEDs and facing a batter who knows what's coming via stealing signs, he'll take the PED player any day of the week. At least he can try to keep that guy off balance. The guy who knows what's coming, it takes away the element of pitching. The entire element of pitching is, how do you mix your pitches? I want you thinking fastball when I'm throwing a breaking ball. I want you thinking breaking ball when I'm throwing a fastball. If you know what's coming, see you later. See you later. Here's Jose Altuve. They were cheating at home and not cheating on the road. Postseason 2017, when they won the World Series. 9 games at home, 9 on the road. Altuve, who's alleged to have worn a buzzer on his shoulder, indicating what pitch was coming, he hit .472 at home, .143 on the road. 6 home runs at home, 1 on the road. 12 RBIs at home, 2 on the road. OPS at home of .541. That'll get you in the Hall of Fame. On the road, .497. The team as a whole, not just Altuve, those 9 home games versus 9 road games in 2017 during the postseason, 8-1 at home, 3-6 on the road, 5.7 runs per game at home, 3 on the road, hitting .273 at home, .208 on the road, 18 homers at home, 9 on the road, slugging .519 at home, .347 on the road. That's sample size, 9 versus 9. It might not be a lot of games, but damn, that's a big split right there.
It's remarkable, and it's just flabbergasting.
On the road, they stink. At home, they're unbelievable.
Right. Alex Wood, by the way, still with the Dodgers, and Cody Bellinger, also with the Dodgers, had an interesting tweet saying, for the sake of the game, I hope this isn't true, talking about the ongoing scandal. If true, there needs to be major consequences to the players. That completely ruins the integrity of the game. So the more that players are becoming aware of just how blatant this cheating was by the Houston Astros, you're going to see more players come out, and the groundswell of commentary and of players saying that something has to be done. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, he's going to have to act. Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah. And you see Tuve, Joe, you look at his face and watching again on ESPN, he is not smiling. It's not like, oh, don't rip my shirt. He's like emphatically, no, no, do not. He's holding that thing. He does not want those wires exposed. He doesn't want to see that TENS machine,
and
that wiretap.
He immediately runs into the dugout and changes shirts. I've never seen that before. I've never seen someone that excited to make sure they got into a league championship champions t-shirt that quickly. LSU players, Joe Burrow was in his uniform 2 hours after the game. He was still wearing his shoulder pads. He was doing interviews. Those players in the locker room with Odell Beckham, look at them. They're right. Still in their shoulder pads. Right. I can understand the pants. Right. They're still wearing the shoulder pads an hour after the game. Altuve switched from jersey to t-shirt like that. Why? Why did you need to get into the league championship t-shirt that fast? It's not even a World Series t-shirt.
There's people going to talk. Trust me, Dibs, you know that. They're in that locker room. They're going to talk. This is the cats, as Dibs say, the rat on the table. Let's put the rat on the table. They are going to talk.
Think about Deflategate. They took air out of a football, and it took the better part of 12 months to get to the bottom of exactly what happened. PSI in a leather football. This thing's going to go on and on and on till the break of dawn.
A message for the billions. If you haven't done so already, download the Radio.com app right now. Tune into your boys, Joe Lo and Dibs, and catch all the latest on the 49ers news, interviews, and updates. Man, we are cooking today. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Nutrisystem, Inc. We'll turn it over to you guys. Combination of the Astros cheating scandal. Should they be stripped of the 2017 World Series now that we appear to have evidence of players wearing buzzers underneath their jersey? What does it mean for baseball? How much do you trust the sport? And for the NFC Championship game, I want to make it real, real simple for everyone out there. What's your confidence level heading into this game versus 2014 at Seattle, 2013 at Atlanta, 2012 versus the Giants? What's your confidence level? The phone lines are open all day. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Now is the time to try Nutrisystem for Men. Lose weight eating the food you love. Buy 1 month, get one free, plus a week of protein-packed shakes free at Nutrisystem.com/radio. That's Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see website for details.
Listen to Damon Ratto and Kolsky anytime, anywhere with the Radio.com app.
Hey, everybody, Dan Dibley here, and I have a dream, and it's for sports all day, every day. And thankfully, I've got the Xfinity Sports Zone, which is the single sports destination where I can find all the games, the news, the highlights, the stats, and so much more right on my TV. Can I track multiple games and leagues at once? Of course I can. Can I follow my favorite teams and players? It's just that easy. I can find the latest standings to see where my team stands relative to the competition. I can look up the leaders and see the top players on every team, and most importantly, I can track every score with my Xfinity voice remote. It makes it so easy, I simply say NFL playoffs or NHL standings, English Premier League. Up pops all the information that any sports junkie could possibly want. Get the ultimate sports experience with Xfinity. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit your local Xfinity store and experience everything they have to offer. Restrictions apply.
Shoes on.
Come on, kids, let's go.
Right now, during Mancini Sleep World's tax-free mattress sale, choose a mattress that comforts as well as you do. We pay the sales tax, so come in to one of our 33 locations and find the mattress that makes you go...
We made it, Friday, and this is Johnny Mosey with your Toyota Tower Report. If you have other plans, you're doing it wrong, because the snow is coming, and it's going to be an epic weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. Well, skiers and snowboarders will love all of the fresh powder with our big winter storm dropping a lot of snow up in the Sierra. In fact, a winter storm warning still in effect for the west slopes of the Sierra this morning. But as we head through our afternoon, looking at partly sunny skies with highs in the low 30s. Have a great time on the slopes.
When it comes to health coverage, it helps to have someone in your corner. That's why there's Covered California. We're a free service that offers support and resources to help more Californians get quality, affordable health coverage. How do we do that? By carefully selecting private health insurance companies to offer you the best combination of quality, rates, and benefits. And Covered California is the only place you can get financial help to make coverage more affordable. New this year, almost 1 million people could get additional financial help to lower the cost of their plan. That means more money for those already receiving assistance, and new help for those who may not have qualified in the past. Many people will see lower costs, so don't wait. Check and see how much you could save. It only takes 5 minutes. Have questions or want to enroll? Visit coveredca.com, call us, or meet with an expert in your area. Covered California. It's life care. The last day to enroll is January 31st, so get covered today.
Get the Planet Fitness Black Card membership for just $22.99 a month. Work out the way you want and get all the great stuff you always get at Planet Fitness. Plus, bring a workout buddy every time. Use any of over 1,700 locations. Enjoy massage chairs, tanning, and more. Get all the PF Black Card perks for just $22.99 a month. Join in club or online at planetfitness.com. Planet Fitness, the judgment-free zone. Annual membership fees apply. Participating locations only. See club for details.
These are the final days of the 32nd Annual Manufacturers RV Show. Your last chance to see hundreds of RVs from a dozen different dealers. The Manufacturers RV Show, indoors at the Alameda County Fairgrounds in Pleasanton. On now through January 20th.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. And we give you this magic music, which will inspire the perfect hire to begin clog dancing. Okay, there's no magic music, but skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Post your next job at Indeed.com/hire and try skills tests for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Does your TV look good, but sound poor? Most new TVs have weak sound due to their thin cabinets. A soundbar will fix this problem, if it's a good one. Like a Yamaha for $99 or a Bose for $199. Where's the best place to get a soundbar? Not online or at the club, but in-store at Video Only. Before you buy, check out the deals at Video Only. Because if you don't,
you'll be sorry.
New year, new budgets. Every small business has unique needs. When you partner with a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor, you get real-time, tailored advice. They'll even give you a free audit on your servers and storage devices to develop a custom solution to help improve your company's productivity. Plus, right now, upgrade to Windows 10 and get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. To speak with a Dell Advisor, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
What's in store right now at your local Staples?
Make plans this weekend for huge savings.
Staples weekend exclusive deals mean big discounts on the things you use every day.
Like Apple AirPods with charging case for only $139.
It's truly an epic weekend for savings.
So hurry into Staples for Apple AirPods, now just $139 through Sunday only.
Staples, where there's a whole lot in store this weekend. In store only, valid 117 to 11920 while supplies last. Limit 2.
I'm as cool as a buddy on ice. Hotter than the rolling dice.
Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs.
Hey, diddle diddle, kittle down the middle.
On 95.7, The Game.
Here we go. It's the championship rounds of Joe, Low, and Dibs coming up at 9. This is the Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, our NFC Championship-bound audience, because we love you and because we've got a lot to get to, all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. All right, phone lines are juiced on a variety of topics, so we're going to go back and forth. The first thing I'm going to do is set you up with the guests. Carmen Policy, former president and CEO of the San Francisco 49ers, great friend of the program, love him. First-class gentleman, he's going to join us at 8 o'clock. 1 hour from now, Joe Buck. You know him, you love him. Or you know him and you hate him because so many people seem to think he's anti-Giants. He's not, spoiler alert, but he's going to join us in an hour to talk all things MLB scandal and the NFC Championship game. He's on the call with Troy Aikman. 340 local is your kickoff on Sunday. Mike Holmgren, a.k.a. The Big Show, one of the best nicknames in sports. He's going to join us at 9:30. So Carmen Policy at 8, Joe Buck at 8:30, Mike Holmgren at 9:30. It's a Football Friday brought to you by Oaks Card Club. Play it smart, play it Oaks and Xfinity. All right, so let's get to it. Thinking about this today, first NFC championship game since Harbaugh. Hasn't been that long. As bad as it may have felt to be a Niner fan over the last few years, and it's been a struggle, they're back a lot quicker than other teams. When was the last time Cleveland was in a championship game? Or Miami? You get where I'm going here. I don't need to go through the entire NFL. It was a dark time, but the sun is out. Morning has arrived, and bright things are on the horizon. The question I'm curious about is, I moved here in 14, okay? I wasn't here for all the Harbaugh stuff. I was just here for that last season and the dismissal and the fallout. I'm curious, how are Niner fans feeling entering this game against Green Bay with Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo versus the three championship games under Jim Harbaugh? You hosted the New York Giants in January of 12. You went to Atlanta in January of 13, and you went to Seattle in January of 14. Against the Giants, you were a 2-point home favorite. Against the Falcons, you were a 3.5-point road favorite. And at Seattle, you were a 4-point road underdog. Dibs, you probably remember this as well as anyone. Confidence level now heading into the Green Bay game with Shanahan and Garoppolo versus Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick, Jim Harbaugh, and that era just a few years ago.
It's higher than it was at all those times.
And really?
Yeah, partly because of what you pointed out. Seattle was a team that was a legitimate rival, and that was a road game, and you knew you were going to go up there and face the 12s, and it was going to be difficult. The game against the Atlanta Falcons, also a road game. You felt confident that you could beat Atlanta, but the fact that you were going on the road, hostile environment, playing indoors, you didn't really have the kind of offense that would match up with the Falcons. You liked your chances, but I think you look at this Green Bay game, the way you're playing, the way the roster's healthy, the way you motorboated the Packers the first time, and not just because the point spread's the biggest of all, but you feel more confident than ever because of what we've been laying out all week about the matchup itself, where Aaron Rodgers is in his career, and how dominant this defense has been. I think this is the most confident you've been since the last century.
Big situation there. Big situation. Church pew seat draws. Are you thinking the same thing? Confidence level higher for this game than for any of the Harbaugh NFC Championship games?
No, because you knew when they went to Atlanta they were going to win that game. When Harbaugh was there, you said, oh, my God, they got Atlanta because Atlanta upset at Seattle, and everyone was so happy. They said, oh, they got this one. Because
that game, the ending of that Atlanta-Seattle game, if you remember, Seattle comes all the way back. Carroll calls the timeout. Bryant gets to recalibrate. He hits the field goal.
Absolutely.
That was a wild ending.
Wow ending. And everyone, all the Niner fans at that time said, it's over. We're going. You knew that you could beat Atlanta because you knew that that matchup favored you. So I was more confident there. And even I was more even confident when they played the Giants. The Giants, you said, okay, you can beat the Giants. Even though you had you thought, okay, you're using your backup. The biggest thing, again, that game's not even close, Coach. That Giant game and the Niner game's not even close. It's probably a double digit. The two turnovers, 14 points. The Niners really dominated. You thought going in that game, you said, this is a good chance, especially playing in San Francisco. You thought that this was going to be it. And now I'm in a good place now, too, with this. How confident? I think that I'm just as confident as this as I was when you're looking at Atlanta. So that's feeling pretty good about
this
game.
That's really big. Now, I think a lot of that has to do with the opponent. The analysis you've just laid out, Dibs talked about Green Bay quite a bit. You were talking about the opponents as well. I think that plays into this quite a bit. But let's strip the opponents from the situation and just look at the Niners themselves. From a Harbaugh versus Shanahan standpoint, from a Garoppolo versus Kaepernick, Alex Smith standpoint, what's your confidence level there? Go so far as to look at that Ravens Super Bowl game. The Niners were 4.5-point favorites in that game. They were big favorites against the Ravens in that game. There was a lot of confidence going in there. Do you think the fan base is more confident in Garoppolo entering tomorrow and possibly beyond? Or do you think there was more confidence in Kaepernick and Alex Smith back in the day? Again, I don't know. I wasn't
right here. I'd say Kaepernick, the confidence in Kaepernick is slightly greater than the confidence in Garoppolo, and Alex Smith would be third. And it's partly because of what Colin Kaepernick was at that time and what the pistol offense at that time. And that's why we looked at this Baltimore team this year. The confidence in Lamar Jackson was through the roof. Even though last year he had the playoff flameout against the L.A. Chargers, and it's like, ooh, Lamar in the playoffs wasn't great. What he did in the regular season, you went into their postseason game this year thinking, there's no way Baltimore loses because of what Lamar Jackson was doing. Colin Kaepernick at that time running the pistol offense that no one had seen, and his ability to make plays, and everyone was Kaepernicking. The confidence in Kaepernick at the time
he had some really big games.
And kissing the bicep and running over people, 180 yards against Green Bay. At that time, I think Niner fans were more confident in Kaepernick than they are in Garoppolo, but I think they're more confident in this team than they were necessarily in that team.
888-957-9570. Niner fans, get in here. 888-957-9570. Your confidence level, Shanahan versus Harbaugh, Garoppolo versus Kaepernick and Alex Smith, that team versus those teams. This is big. Fourth NFC championship game in essentially a 10-year stretch here. This is a good spot to be in. Obviously, in between the three and this one, there were some dark times, but you've emerged. You've emerged. You see the sunlight on the horizon and things are picking up. Harbaugh versus Shanahan, confidence level.
That's where you got me. That's where you tilt the scale huge, and I'm Shanahan.
Really? And you're a big Harbaugh guy. You like Jim quite a bit.
I love Jim. I love Jim, love him as a person. I think he's a good coach. But I'm
hypotheticals.
But right now, when you just talk about now, when you talk about coaching, that's where you got. That's where, to me, you're talking about an A-plus to a C. I think Harbaugh, but he's solid. The Royals ran by the C-average individuals, you know. That's a fact. So you think about Harbaugh, he's a solid, just a good C. You know what you're going to get. Shanahan, man. Shanahan, I mean, the guy, he's amazing. As I use John, my inner Jonathan. I mean, smart, creative, all the things. That's where I think this team has a huge difference. I don't know if fans are more confident, and that's where I disagree with you when you talk about, as far as they're more confident in this team than that Harbaugh. Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, Justin Smith, and Alden Smith. I mean, I don't know if I'm saying I'm just more confident when you Poli and all the different guys they had on the offensive line. I don't know if I'm saying I was more confident in that team than this team.
Better pass rush. Linebackers, I'll give it, obviously, P. Willie and Bowman, because Quan's been hurt, and this is his first year here. Greenlaw's young, and Fred's coming up nice.
Yeah.
It's a nice linebacker unit, but they're not going to win that battle in the court of public opinion. P. Willie and Bowman are Hall of Famers or fringe Hall of Famers, so there you go.
Okay.
Pass rush, though. What's the better pass rush? Justin, Alden, and the rest versus D, Bosa, Armstead, Buckner.
I'm going with this one.
Those are two insane pass rushes to put up next against each
crazy.
Other.
It's crazy.
If you put the whole group together and you had to only start four of them, who do you go with, you know? You go with Alden.
Good God.
You got
God,
Justin.
Why would you do that?
You got
that?
Bosa. I mean, if you had to just start four, forget the fact that if you used them all.
Who's the first draft pick of the group? Of the entire group, if you take all those defensive linemen from then and the defensive linemen from now, who's the first one you're taking? Because obviously we're probably going to have the same five that we use for four, right?
Yes.
Like we might have a couple differences, but there's mostly going to be a lot of opinion. But the question would be, who do you take first?
This feels weird coming out, but it's Alden Smith. Because when he was playing at that time...
But he was so dependent on playing next to Justin.
Yes,
he was so dependent on playing next to Justin.
His strength, his ability on the outside, his reach. He, at that time, was an unbelievable force. I would say Alden Smith.
Would you?
Yeah.
Forget about off-the-field stuff. We're not worried about any of that. We're talking about football production. You don't have to worry about off-the-field stuff. We're not building a team for the next 10 years.
Okay.
You're just drafting the pass rushers from then versus now and putting the best four together.
Alden, Nicky.
Nicko second.
Church, Pugh. Then I would go. Then you go Justin, and then it's like DeForest or D. Imagine if you had DeForest and Justin inside, and then Alden and Nicky on the outside.
My God.
Forget about it. Green Bay is going to go quick kick on first down.
Bosa hurts his ribs and has to take a playoff. Here comes D Ford.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, wait a minute, what?
Right.
If you're the other team, you're going to run a lot of draws. A lot of draws. Damn. All right, let's bring him in. 888-957-9570, the billions, all this. Confidence then versus now. Shanahan, Harbaugh, Garoppolo versus Kaepernick, and Alex Smith. Pass rush versus pass rush. We want to hear from you as we get set. Final time we're all going to talk to one another before the NFC Championship game Sunday, 3:40 p.m., Levi Stadium. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the call. Joe Buck set to join us at 8:30 this morning. Let's go to Ashton in San Jose. Ashton, welcome to the show. Your thoughts, your confidence level heading into the NFC Championship game.
My confidence level heading into the NFC Championship game this Sunday is pretty high for the Niners. I believe that defensive line against the Packers' offensive line is just too dominant. They're going to impose their will for four quarters straight. And this is coming from a Raider fan. I think that the Green Bay Packers will have a showing more than the Vikings. They will put up at least 21 points, but Jimmy G is going to have to get on his high horse and put up about 25 to 30 points. Once they do that, I think they're going to really, really take off and go to the Super Bowl and do some things.
All right. Appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. Jonathan, San Francisco. Bring him into the show. It's the game before it's the day before the NFC Championship game weekend.
I'm speechless.
He's got to get in here. Jonathan, welcome to the show. Give it to us.
Hey, my confidence level about this team is off the charts. It's just way out there. It's scary. You know how that goes when you're too confident, right? But I can't help it because this team is complete, man. It's well documented in this radio station how critical I was of that Colin Kaepernick-led 49ers. Because you know what? They're a physical defense, awesome defense, man, but they got problems scoring, right? This 49er team is well-rounded. And the scariest, you know, part about this team, if they're young and they're already this good and they got depth behind their starters who are young, like, come on, man. The future is as bright as the golden sun. And I can't wait for this Sunday. I can't wait for the Super Bowl. It's just going to be awesome, man. I can't describe how I feel being a 49er fan for 25 plus years. And, dude, I'm just telling you guys, when everybody's complaining about, oh, Jimmy's no good. Oh, Shanahan, you know, he let that 20-plus point lead in the Super Bowl go away. Oh, Salah's got to go. I saw big-picture success with this team because they're just littered with good people, smart people, and it came together so fast. It's scary. You know, I didn't expect them to be this good, but now that we have it, let's go grab that Super Bowl.
Appreciate the phone call. Thank you for weighing in. They win the Super Bowl. That mail ain't getting delivered the next day. Tell you that much right now. He's going to need that national holiday.
I'm speechless now.
Alex in San Bruno. Alex, welcome to the show. Confidence level heading into the Packer game on Sunday.
Here. Well, full confidence in this Niner team. It's a complete team. The difference between now and the Harbaugh years is that this team is not in the media for nothing stupid. It's a complete team. You know, it's about going there, bringing in those skills, and go to work and get the job done. One goal here. And I just want to say bang, bang, not a gang.
All right. Appreciate the phone call. Confidence level at an all-time high. You got to figure, how worried are you about your coach going into this game? Is there a single worry at all? The manner in which he has this team playing, you don't see little meltdowns with these guys. You don't see any. When was the last time we saw a tiff on the sidelines between anyone getting heated with anybody else?
Yesterday, you were mentioning like players in discord, and I was trying to think of who of the 53 guys on the team would be the biggest bad apple. And you really can't pick out anybody. Even Akello Witherspoon, who got ceremoniously yanked out of the hugest game of his professional career.
Right. Hugest.
The biggest. It was like the hugest.
Right.
He's over there, you know, still smiling and keeping his head up, no dauber
right
down.
And said the right thing to the media afterwards. You're absolutely right.
He's a professional.
Yeah. Against Atlanta, when you target Kittle 17 times and didn't throw any. What if you had Crabtree in that situation? What happens as a receiver? Like you just talked about, Joe, guys probably in that locker room said, hey, man, I wish that Debo and probably Eman was like, hey, you know, probably could have got him involved more. And probably Kyle Shanahan said, hey, we got to get these receivers involved more. But you didn't hear a peep. Even if they were disappointed or disgruntled, you didn't hear nothing. That's Crabtree. He would have body language on sideline, certain things. You would have been like, oh, my God, they better do something. So I you're absolutely right. That's the thing that this team's that's just so united that you look at and you're like, man, these guys, even when things aren't good, because come on, let's be real. Brothers fight. Guys are – everything in that locker room is not – every day is not, you know, Sunday over in that locker room. But they manage because they love one another, and Shanahan's built a great culture.
Josh in Oakland. Josh, welcome to the show. Thanks for your time. What are you thinking about this weekend? Confidence level heading into the Green Bay game?
My confidence is pretty high. I just want to say the team culture, I think, is just so much different than it was in the Harbaugh years. And I just think the defensive backs, Tart and Ward, have done a great job. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe they were high school teammates, and it's just pretty cool to see what they're doing out there on the field at the professional level. And the fact that they were with Harbaugh and they've kind of stayed on the team. And then Mosley kind of filling in for Witherspoon there, and I was impressed with Witherspoon, the fact that, you know, hey, give me the reps, you know, I want Mosley to be rested and, you know, play special teams, and I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call. He'll take them off the air, Dibs.
Get Josh's number. We'll call him later, because I do have comments for Josh, but I, God forbid I deliver them on the air, which is, you know, really the only thing in my job requirement that I have to do.
Level of concern regarding Mosley starting at corner this weekend. I know there hasn't been an official announcement yet, but you don't figure the team's going to go with Witherspoon after how it played out last weekend.
Yeah.
So if you're the Packers and you're Rodgers, you got to figure you're going to test him early. You're going to look at that Week 17 tape against Seattle, where it was Witherspoon for most of the time,
but
just picking on that side of the field.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson just picking on that side of the field. You got to figure Rodgers is thinking the same thing, right? He's not going to throw at Sherman. Historically, he's shown in 8 previous meetings he doesn't throw all that often at Sherman.
Yeah, you got to look at Mosley, and Mosley's, he understands, especially if he's in known, he's going to be starting this whole week. You don't think the coach is saying, okay, this is what you want. We're giving it to you. You don't think at practice he's focused? You think he's out partying? You think he's like, oh, I got this. You think he's cocky? The guy's probably attention to details. You know, he's like, this is my opportunity. And you got to realize, it's more than just the NFC Championship. That you're playing for your future. You're playing for your kids. You're playing for other things. And now you have a guy that's playing with that chip on his shoulder saying, I have a chance not just for this game. If I play well, you know what? I'm going to be starting in the Super Bowl, gosh darn it. And the world's going to get to see me on one of the biggest stages. So selfishly, yeah, you want to win as a team, but you also say, man, I got some self-pride too. And you know, guess what? At the biggest time, stars are made, and you have a time for you to shine. Now you're going to be in a situation, Mosley, that is, that's going to be lining up where everyone in America is going to be watching that side. We're talking about it. Rodgers, a Hall of Famer, is going at you. What are you going to do? Man, who has it better than Mosley? This is a guy now that's standing over there that understands what's going on and has an opportunity, Joe, to meet all expectation, to meet Aaron Rodgers one-on-one, because he's going to go after him, and he's going to try and time a lot and look for Adams to be one of those guys that's going to be lined up over him.
Starting to get me fired up.
You should
starting
be.
To get me real fired
I'm
up
like,
for this
I'm starting
game.
To build this thing, bro.
I'm happy to be getting
I've been holding
close.
It in.
This is one of those weeks you're doing radio interviews all week long, and the same question keeps coming up, and no one asks it trolling. No matter where it's been, D.C., Washington, Green Bay, Wisconsin. All the places ask the same thing. What's the confidence level in Jimmy Garoppolo? A lot of people are still interested from the outside and like, you know, what do you guys think of Garoppolo? This morning, VEASAN. I go on with our boys down in VEASAN, and one of the first questions out of the gate, you know, is Garoppolo the weak link of the team? And it's like, what? Well, you know, if there's a weak link, what is it? You think about it for a second, you're like, I don't think there's a weak link. If you're looking for the unit that's least elite, I might be able to phrase it like that for you, but I don't necessarily see a weak link. I see a lot of good players, a lot of well-coached players, a lot of well-prepared players. I think at times there are different units that have had their issues, but I don't see a weak link. If the weak link is Jimmy Garoppolo, you are in great shape over the next 3 weeks if you catch my drift.
Absolutely.
If that's the weak link, because right. I'm telling you right now, that's not your weak link. The dude knows the offense. He doesn't buckle under pressure. He knows big game football.
He does.
You don't rattle him in these spots, yeah. Man. You don't rattle him. I know it's worth the bad INT or the fumble every now and again for the upside he brings to the table. Quickly, we suffer from recency bias. So the first thing is, man, that pick against Minnesota, that's a bad pick. You notice they ran 30 of 36 times after that. Do you know why they ran 30 of 36 times after that? Because they could. Because if you can run the ball, you do it. It grinds the clock. It took Minnesota out of the game. You think Shanahan was that worried about Garoppolo that he said, look, we have got to stop throwing the ball. We are in a bad spot. No. Shanahan loves to run.
Yep.
And when you're effective at running the ball, you
why
keep
stop?
Running it. You ran it down Minnesota's throat and you broke their back. Need I remind you of the end of the Rams game, the second Rams game, the night game on Saturday night when Garoppolo converted not one but two really long third downs to put that team in a position to win that game.
Right.
He made huge plays there. He made huge plays in New Orleans in the Dome against the Saints. Remember, Cousins coming off that win in New Orleans, he was revered as a new guy. Kirk Cousins is a new guy after beating his numbers were good. They weren't Garoppolo's numbers. Garoppolo lit that defense up.
Yes, and you look at the weak unit, and we talked earlier in the year, Lo, about the interior offensive line might be a problem. Well, that hasn't been proven out. Joe mentioned 30 of 36 plays. You run the football. The linebacking core, you get healthy again. The defensive front, they've been absolutely dominant. Joe Staley, who struggled a little bit with injury this year and also had some problems. Mike McGlinchey had some rough games. They're now playing very well. The wide receiver core with Deebo Samuel growing into his own, no longer a rookie at this stage of the year. I don't know what you would look at as the, quote, weak part of this team outside of the question mark at the opposite corner.
You know, it's interesting. We talk about Jimmy G with a lot of people, and I have confidence in the guy. The guy has shown me. He's converted me over. You look at Mosley and you look at Witherspoon, who's out there playing corner. Shanahan, what did he do right away? After a couple times, what did he do? Had courage to say, I'm sitting him. If trust me, your team is this good and you're on the brink of a Super Bowl and all the different things going, if he didn't believe in Jimmy G, you don't think he would go with the next guy? Look what Mike Vrabel did over in Tennessee. Went, put his franchise quarterback, set him down and said, I'm going in another direction. If this team was not functioning and not playing at a high level, I really believe that Cal Shanahan would have went with Mullins if he thought, or whoever better, if he thought they gave him a better chance. That's how confident I got it. You have to be in this organization and in Cal Shanahan's decision making. If he was a weak link, or if he thought that someone was better, I think Cal Shanahan wouldn't hesitate to go with the other guy.
Richard Sherman met with the media yesterday and was asked a question that many have been wondering. Well, if Devontae Adams is so dangerous and you're such a great corner, why don't you just shadow him over the course of the game?
We don't draw up the defense. So I don't call the defense. The coach tells me what to do. I do it. For me to say, oh, man, I want this guy. I want this guy. I don't really care. Does it help us win the game? Is it going to help the defense? Is it going to help us limit their explosives? Then I'll do it. If it's not, if it doesn't make a difference, if it's better for me to be on the side, then that's what I'm going to do. You know, I love it how people are like, oh, my God, these guys need to do this. Well, I'm going to let you know something. You go to your job and tell your boss what you're going to do and what you're not going to do and see how long you last. At the end of the day, you know, Salah and Kyle, you know, Salah calls the defense. If Salah comes up to me and says, hey, you follow this guy everywhere he goes, then that's what I'm going to do. If he doesn't, then guess what? I'm going to do what he's told me to do. You know, that's how coaching and player relationships work. you know. And it just so happens we have the number one pass defense in the league. Whoa, oh my God, it's crazy. It's crazy that you're not following anybody, but somehow you have the number one pass defense in the league. Almost like our strategy works. It's almost like you're an idiot for doing it any other way. It's almost like you're dumb if you do it another way. It's almost like people have been saying, oh, do it this way for so long, but they don't have a number one defense.
This is a byproduct of only having two games to talk about for an entire week. You look for storylines, you try to find little things to discuss, and it's, well, wait a minute, if Sherman's elite and Davante Adams is elite, why wouldn't you just have him shadow him? Again, to Sherman's point, they gave up 160 yards through the air per game this season. Not only is that number one in the NFL, it's number one by a mile. It is a dominant pass defense. Why the hell would you break away from that? If my strategy at the poker table is just raking in money every three hands, I'm going to change gears? Probably not.
Right. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And the one time this year, and I think, Lo, you pointed this out, when Richard Sherman came off the field and he was hot because they were in man-to-man coverage and he didn't feel like they should be, and they got burned for a big pass play, and then you saw him go back to the traditional cover three that they go with. When you see this pass defense, and obviously it's predicated by a great pass rush, which they didn't have last year, and so the pass defense wasn't nearly as good. I can't imagine they're going to make many alterations, many wrinkles coming into the Green Bay game.
No, but you got to love Richard Sherman, just his foresight and the way that he goes about letting you know what's going on. And he puts it out there, but he lays it out. And, you know, he answers all questions. He removes all doubt. And he says, look, this is the defense. This is what we play. You go talk to your boss and tell him you're going to take over and see how long you last. He said, we have a number one defense. But he said, I'm doing whatever is best for the team. But you heard him say, quite frankly, he said, I'm ready for any challenge. If you listen to him, he goes, if the team needs me there, and Robert Saleh says, hey, if he comes up to me, say, I'm going to travel and go with it. And he goes, and if I need to do that because that guy's hurting us, he's pretty much saying, I'm willing to do it. So when you have Richard Sherman saying, so we know Sunday, if Adams start to have success, without a doubt, they're going to move Richard Sherman on him. You know they're going to do it. And he knows that. And he's like, hey, look, what's working right now? Why change it? But if you need me, send me, I'll go. I love it.
Nice little backup plan.
Yeah, yes.
Nice little backup plan if things get away from you. It's nice that there's a contingency in place.
Boy.
Ask Cleveland if they have any contingencies in place.
Oh, boy.
Ask the Red Sox what their contingency is. How do you have three teams that don't have managers less than a month from the start of the season?
Thank Houston.
It's madness.
That's a shame.
The Giants with Madison Bumgarner in the World Series. It's like, Skip, if you need me to come out of the bullpen, I'm here for you. And you get to the point where you might need him, and all of a sudden you use him. It's not like you were planning on having him be a bullpen arm, but hey, if you need me, if we get in some spots and some trouble, we'll go ahead and do it. And that's kind of what Sherman's going to be doing on Sunday.
By the way, that's not just out of the bullpen. If you need me to just pitch pretty much the whole game, I'll do it. You can start someone else. I'll come in. I'll lock down the last
drive. He only went 5 1/3. I mean,
right.
On 2 days rest.
But that's great when you hear Sherman say something like that, because he's just like, hey, look, I don't need to because I think our team is good enough. But he says, I'm available. And that just makes you feel that you got some great insurance if something goes awry.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 8 o'clock hour of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Championship week continues, and it concludes on Sunday as the San Francisco 49ers find themselves just over 48 hours away from hosting the NFC Championship game against the Green Bay Packers. Vegas has spoken. The Niners are currently a 7.5-point favorite. Total creeping up a little bit. Some over money has hit the market. We're up around 46, 46.5 from 45. That happened yesterday, so keep your eyes out for that. Higher scoring game. Does it favor the Niners or the Packers? Marinate on that for just a second. Joe Buck going to join us in half an hour at 8:30. Mike Holmgren at 9:30. But right now we go to the phones. Former president and CEO of the San Francisco 49ers, Carmen Policy, with us here on 95.7 The Game. Mr. Policy, it's always a pleasure. How's life been treating you?
Life's been great, and I'll tell you, it's been pretty exciting being in the Bay Area for these past couple of weeks. And this weekend coming up, it's almost reached the point of delirious fever levels. It's wonderful. It's fun.
You know, you've spoken with us several times over the last few years, and we've talked about Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, the organization trying to get back on track. You've always remained very optimistic, but to see it happen this quickly, to be back in the NFC Championship game this quickly, I mean, could you have seen that? This has been truly remarkable.
I really didn't see it happening this year. I really thought that we lost a year when Jimmy Garoppolo suffered that terrible injury and his development was really stymied, I really hoped that we would play very credible football in the 2019 season. And maybe, just maybe, we'd sneak in to the playoffs as a wild card if we got a little lucky. And some of the other people in our division started stumbling a little bit. But to be at the number one seed, I'm sitting back and I'm remarking how remarkable it is that it happened. And I'm really, I couldn't be happier for John Lynch or for Kyle Shanahan and for my friend Mike Shanahan, who's got to be one of the proudest fathers in America today.
They've gone from,
it's really something.
Sorry, Carmen. They went from credible football to incredible football. And how much of this, credit goes to Jed York and his ability to put the people in the position to try to turn this thing around and kind of take a step back from the hands-on organization?
Well, I think what you're seeing now is that Jed York, who faced a lot of criticism and, you know, probably to a degree was deserved,
sure,
was smart enough to say, okay, I've made some mistakes here. We've made some mistakes here. I got to learn from those mistakes and not keep making the same mistakes over and over again. And he took a whole different approach. He took a different approach in terms of how he went about replacing his head coach. He understood he had to replace the general manager. He took a different approach in how he went about hiring his general manager. And I think the combination that he put together was actually a risk, but it turned out to be the absolute right formula for success. He found a way, first of all, to get a bright young coach. I love the pedigree with the 49ers. I love what he's done in the past, all things considered, including some of his mistakes that he's, again, I'm hopefully learning from. And the way he's come in and the way he's accepted the fact that he needed somebody in that front office to compliment him, to work with him. And John Lynch, if you want to talk about another risk, was a total risk in terms of putting a man on the job, let him learn on the job, give him a 6-year contract, mind you, which runs exactly the same as the coach. I mean, this situation was either going to work or it was going to fail dismally. And to give Jed credit and to give all of that executive branch credit, they stayed out of the way. We picked our guys. We set a process to work, and let's let it go. And there were mistakes made. You know it. I know it. John knows it. The coach knows it. And they just came right through it, overcame it, and look what you got today. You've got a team that not only is winning, but has touched the hearts of all the people in the Bay Area, and I think people around the country now. It's a popular team because these players are popular. They're fun to watch. They're fun to root for. You not only want to see them win, you want to hang around for the post-game interviews to see what they say and how they say it. And I don't think we've had that since the Joe Montana, Ronnie Lott, Steve Young, Jerry Rice days, to be very honest with you.
Gorman, well said. I couldn't agree with you more. When you get into the X's and O's, how do you view this game? Do you think the team that can run the ball best wins, or you don't think it's going to be predicated on that?
Oh, I think running the ball is going to be very important. I think that the key is going to be how can the Packers avoid that crushing influence of the front four of the 49er defense. I mean, that defense, we're at a point where the 49ers were always, always first known for, judged by, and characterized by their offense. I have to be honest with you. It's almost more entertaining to see that defense on the field than the offense on the field because of the way they play and the way they're able to execute and how they can change the entire game based upon different schemes and so forth, no matter who the offense is they're playing. This is a special team. And these are special guys who came together in a very special way. And again, my whole family loves the individual players. Even Sherman turned out to be a likable uncle or godfather, so to speak, on this team. as opposed to the guy we didn't like when he was at Seattle. And Sherman was another risk. But look at the dividends he's paid. He's really brought some wisdom and some maturity to bear. And I think he's making all the sense in the world in the statements he makes. I love the way he's counseling the younger players, and sure. I love the way he almost appears to be, somewhat of a coach on the field. I mean, he was a great addition as well. I just can't say enough good things about what's transpired here in the last couple of years.
Carmen Policy joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. What was this week like for you when you were working with the 49ers back in the day? The build-up to the NFC Championship game, knowing as an executive, knowing your team, all the people around you, all this hard work, this is the penultimate game. You're 60 minutes from going to the Super Bowl and being on the big stage in front of the entire world. Like, from your position, what was this week like?
It was crushing. And the pressure was unbelievably undaunting. And you had this feeling of almost life and death. I have to be honest. I know that sounds terribly, you know, melodramatic, but it almost approached that. And you knew everything was on the line, and you didn't want to let anybody down. No one, no matter what your job, wanted to let anybody down. And we were very, very, shall we, I don't want to say superstitious, but we were very reluctant to think about anything that would go 1 second beyond the finalization of that game. No one was allowed to talk about Super Bowl preparations. No one was allowed to even say, if we go to the Super Bowl, who do we take? I mean, it was all taboo. Nothing mattered but that game on Sunday. And Eddie would be a basket case. Eddie DeBartolo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.